He does care. Romans chapter number 16, and we'll read a verse in a moment. Romans chapter 16, we'll do a tad of review. And like we announced on Sunday, we're going to start just working through some of the devil's lies. He is a liar and the father of it. And he has told a lot of lies on media. He's told a lot of lies in our public schools and universities. And he's probably put a lot of lies in our head. And so we want to combat at least one of those every week. And tonight we'll finish up on the subject of abortion or the sanctity of life. And so let's look, please, if you will, Romans 16. And let's just look down at one verse here for a moment, and then we'll review. How many folks were here last Wednesday night? You were able to be in the auditorium. How many of you were not in the auditorium last week? All right. Well, I won't review a whole lot then. Here we go. So Romans 16, and then the Bible says, looking down in verse number 19, Paul says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good." So in other words, God wants us to know everything there is that's good and that's good to do. You know, sometimes we always just tell the kids, no, can't do that. No, you can't do that. But there ought to be a whole lot of yeses to good things. And so we need to be wise to that which is good. And then look at this one. And simple concerning evil. What he's talking about there is you don't have to know all the details to know that something is evil. A lifestyle or a certain sin. You don't need to know all the details about injecting heroin before you know it's wrong. And so God says be simple concerning evil. So I'm going to just say this and then we'll pray. We cannot be simple-minded people when it comes to the devil's lies. There are three characters mentioned in the book of Proverbs. The wise, that's the person that knows God's word and obeys it. They learn by their mistakes. They take advice. They can be corrected. That's a wise person. And then you have the fool. That's the person that makes the same mistakes over and over and over, can never be told what to do. Then you have the simple-minded person. And one phrase Scripture says is, the simple believeth every word. The simple believeth every word. That's why a simple person or a new Christian, and sometimes a youth who's inexperienced, is set up for cults. So here's the people knock on the door with the briefcase or the name tag or the 10-speed or whatever it is, and they've got something to promote. Well, the simple believeth every word. It must be true. They showed it to me from the Bible. The simple believeth every word that they read in the tabloid magazines. You know, 103-year-old woman gives birth to twins. Well, it must be true because it's in the newspaper. You know, the National Esquire and the Star and all these little crazy magazines. And by the time they sue someone because it's not true, they lost, it's too expensive. And so we don't want to be simple. Someone tells you something, doesn't mean it's true. You read something, doesn't mean it's true. Someone posts something, doesn't mean it's true. Someone passes something on social media, does not mean it's true. A wise person investigates, figures it out. Is this true? So is it true what they've told us about abortion? Is it really all true what the media and the educators have said? So that's one of the verses. We'll look at others. Let's do a tad of review for a moment, okay? And here it is. The time is 7:22. Here we go. Father, bless now this time that we have. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the review. Jeremiah, the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and sanctified thee a prophet unto the nations." God looked at unborn Jeremiah and said, "You're going to be a preacher." God already knew that. He was not just tissue. He was a person. In Psalm 139, we looked at it last week. David said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All of my parts are forming together inside of my mother's womb." In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God told Adam and Eve, multiply, replenish the earth. God is pro-birth. He is for children being born. The Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus said, suffer or allow the little children to come unto me. We gave you the Greek word last week. That word children is brephos. Some places call it brophos. It means born and unborn. Allow the little children to come to me, the born ones and the unborn ones. And we'll look at that in just a few moments. It's interesting. In the book of Luke, it said John the Baptist leaped within his mother, here's the emotion, with joy. With joy. Why? Because he was a living soul. He heard Jesus was going to get born. He wasn't just tissue. He wasn't just a fetus. He wasn't just a future member of the human race. He already was. And then we read last week in Isaiah 9, in verse number 6, where the Bible says, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. It lists all of these names of Jesus, but it called him a he. So he was already gender assigned before birth. How you like that? And kind of interesting. And then we talked about those that hated the babies. Last week we talked about Pharaoh, where he ordered all of the Hebrews. He told the midwives, he said, kill all the boys as soon as they're born, because I don't want them multiplying. And of course the midwives kept Moses alive, and look at the great leader who delivered Israel. They kept him alive. And then we think of Herod, who when baby Jesus was born, he killed all the babies in Bethlehem, age 2 and under. And there was great weeping at that time. In America, we talked about 1963. This quote by Planned Parenthood, abortion kills the life of a baby after it has begun. That's what Planned Parenthood said back then. They've changed what they believe now. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Sounds like a Baptist preacher quoting in 1963. Planned Parenthood, the largest contributor now to abortion. Someone said, and I think it's true, the most dangerous place for an unborn baby today is the womb of its mother. I like what Ronald Reagan said. I noticed that everyone who is for abortion has already been born. I've seen the signs at these rallies. It's my body. And we quoted last week. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Your body is not yours. It's the Lord's. You say, well, Pastor, what's the option in this wicked day? A wonderful woman conceives, and she's going to have a child, and she didn't plan on it. There's something called responsibility. There's something called, there's a line of people lined up that would love to adopt a child. Someone told me today, one of the last statements made in the Roe versus Wade, either as soon as it passed or right before it passed a long time ago, was this: it's better to abort the baby than to have the mother wondering her whole life, where is that child? Isn't that amazing? Just the circular thought on some of those things. We've been lied to. We've been lied to. Now, take your Bibles just for a moment and want to fill in these blanks, and we'll look at some scriptures here. First blank, of course, we cannot be simple-minded. Then look over here, please, in Genesis 20. Genesis 20. Some of these verses are directed at live, a delivery of a child. Some just comment on the blessing of children being born. Genesis 20, you know the story. Abraham has lied. He's got a good-looking wife. And he comes into Egypt and says, honey, I'm afraid. I mean, you're so good-looking that they're going to kill me and take you. So why don't you just tell them you're my sister? And so he got her to lie. She did. And so they take her. But notice, Notice what happens in the meantime while Sarah is now not with Abraham in chapter 20 and verse 18, Genesis. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Guess what God did? So you've taken this man's wife. This is wrong. You lied. This is wrong. So he said, I'm shutting up all the wombs. No woman's going to have a child during this time. That was not a blessing. That was a curse. So God was not pleased. And what did he do? No kids. When God's pleased, kids. So he is very pro-birth here. And then let's look in one of the greatest children chapters for a moment, please. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And this is a great, great little chapter. Just a short little chapter. If you have kids or if you have grandkids or you're responsible helping raise kids or you work with kids at the church, notice this great, great chapter. And here it is. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house. He's talking about a household, a family. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city or keep it safe. The watchman waketh but in vain. Notice a couple of times he's using the Lord. He says, it's the Lord that blesses a family. It's the Lord that keeps a city safe. Then he said, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Here it is now, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, look at this, is his reward. Oftentimes we cut up and say, oh, it's a curse. No, they're not. They're a reward. And notice, that's the verse in the Bible for short people. Look, lo, children or the heritage of the Lord. Look, God loves short people. That's what it means. No, that's not what it means. But lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Notice what kids do. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Children go, here's the bow and arrow. They go where the parents can never go. What do arrows need? Arrows need direction. Kids have potential. They've got energy. They just need to be directed. Mom, dad, or whoever's leading those children, we need God's help to know the direction. They need to be pointed. So we are to sharpen them with God's word and correction and teaching and training. There's always a target. Every kid needs a target. Here's what we want you to be one day. Here's the goal. Here's who we want you to be like. And so he says, they're like arrows. Then he says, verse 5, notice all this philosophy here, this emphasis. God is saying this, happy is the man that hath his quiver, that means where you put the arrows, full of them. Now those of you who've had a lot of kids, and you'll have to define what a lot is. Some people say one is a lot. Then I meet people who have 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and it's like, we wish we'd have had more. When you know how to raise them, you may say that. We did a message one year, and it was called Kids, Burden or Blessing. And it depends on how they're raised. But he says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Let me encourage you here, just give you some wisdom. Never comment on how many kids someone has. It's none of your business whether they have zero or they have one or two or 10 or 12 or 15. It's none of your business. They didn't ask you. They didn't ask you for comments. They don't need smart little things, little sayings. Just rejoice. Amen. Just rejoice. Happy is the man that hath this quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What's that mean? It means as we raise our kids, you do the best you can. Once they're out of the house, they may stray. You try to pray them back. It's about all you can do. You give it your best, but they're going to end up speaking for you. You wonder what my mom and dad believe? Watch my life. The kids speak by their life. They just speak by their life. It's something about it. So let's keep going here. That's almost too deep in it. But here we are in Exodus 21. Look at this verse. And just trying to give you some ammunition for some thoughts here. But Exodus 21 in verse number 22. And we have all these practical laws here about behavior. But notice this one. You've probably read it, but have you ever applied it? Exodus 21 and verse 22. If men strive, that's two men are in a fight, and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her. So she miscarriages. She loses the child. And yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. Why? Someone caused her to lose her child. So that child must have been more than tissue if God would make someone pay and bring them before the judge. You're going to have to pay for this because it's a living soul. And then we see, looking over in, you can skip that, but that's Mary and Elizabeth, Luke 1:38. And then here's another one. There's excitement in the gender revealing. You know, that's kind of a new thing. How many of you did that? You're 50 or over, and you did the gender revealing when you had kids. Anybody like that? That's such a new thing. And so the couples today, we're going to have a baby, and we just found out it's a boy or a girl. And if you're not new to the, if you're not aware of that, and they'll have the balloon pop, and it's either blue smoke or it's pink smoke or it's this or it's that. The gender reveal. Why are they so excited? Because the child is a child. It's already a child. So God was excited about children being born. Others are excited about it. And in Genesis 4, let's look over here for a moment. Here's the verse in Genesis about Adam and Eve. I want to give you this. And so we see in chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man. Guess where she said she got him? From the Lord. So she is saying, we can plan all we want. Humans are not just the ones who decide, we're going to have five kids, we're going to have them this month. God says, no, I'm the one that gives children. It's a gift. And then we see, look over here, and this is very well known, but Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, the king, King Solomon, is given wisdom here. It's God's word. But notice what he says in Proverbs 30. Then we're going to give you some real practical things, and we'll be out of here. Proverbs 30, and look down, please, in verse 15. He says, the horse leech. Anybody know what a leech is? Any of you teenagers know what a leech is? Maybe you've called your friend one. You know, they're always borrowing money, a leech. Anybody? You know what a leech is. It's, I don't know the biological name. It's not a crustacean. It's not a molecule. I mean, it's an animal. Oh, okay, it's a parasite. Okay, so it's a parasite. And you might get them as you wade through a swamp. And pretty soon you go, man, I got these leeches on me. What they do, they attach to the skin and suck the blood out. A leech. So Solomon says, look, this horse leech hath two daughters, or his kid leeches, the little leeches, cry, give, give. All they're doing is taking and taking. He says, there are three things that are never satisfied. Look at this. Yea, four things, say not, isn't enough. He says, on earth, in life, there's four things that are never satisfied. Now, he names them. Look at this. Verse 16, the grave. Isn't that true? You ever lose a loved one, if you loved them, you will never forget them. and you're hurt all the time. One person said, Pastor, when does the hurting stop? And I said something like this, you're hurt all of the time, all of the time. And then it's all of the time, most of the time. Then all of the time, some of the time. And then it's most of the time, all of the time. And most of the time, most of the time. And then pretty soon it's some of the time, some of the time. You never stop hurting. If you really love, you never stop hurting. He says, the grave is never satisfied. Now, when we get to heaven, we see our loved ones again. We'll forget all that. But in the meantime, it's never satisfied. I think of my dad every day. Every day. He said, the grave, what else? And the barren womb. A person who would love to have children, but just can't. Some people having kids like this, just, and some people just can't bear a child. And people can say what they want to. There's still a deep desire inside of that mother, that wife, that woman that wants to have a child. I said, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, it's kind of in the Bible. It's interesting. Have you ever noticed, and I'm going to have to, okay, you help me. A guy's going to, hey, bring this book to the teacher. You ready? Here's how a guy carries the book to the teacher. Hey, girl, carry this book to the teacher. You know what she's doing? She's carrying a baby. They even hold their books differently. If you boys carry your books to school like this, something's wrong with you. It's something about it. It is inborn. God puts that inside of us. Now, look at this for a moment. Here it is. Girls grow up taking care of baby dolls. It's something about it. Guys like to tear things up. Girls like to play with the baby dolls and tuck them in at night and feed them. That's not what guys like to do. They like to take the baby doll. Can you throw it over the roof? I think I can. Guys think differently. Now here we are. If you want to look it up, and I wasn't going to take time to show them, you can actually go online and they have survivor testimonies. People who were aborted and actually in the garbage can, supposed to die, and they heard a whimper. They saw a movement. Someone took the child that was supposed to be aborted and they lived. And now they're on YouTube giving their stories. Assets to society, people that are glad that they lived. Isn't it amazing? Just an amazing thought there. There's a movie out. We were not going to show it. I didn't think it would be appropriate. It came out, I believe, in 1982 at the height of much of the abortion things that was going on. It's called The Silent Scream. They actually videoed an abortion. And they showed the unborn, it looked like screaming inside the mother's womb. The opponents and the pro-abortionists went nuts that it shouldn't have ever been shown. It was made up, it was fake. It's interesting that they would put up such a stink over that. It's called the silent scream. They were trying to prove there was no pain to the unborn as they were being killed. Number two, just a thought here, scientific name, you ladies would know, amniocentesis, to test for defects. Almost every doctor will ask when a woman is expecting at a certain time, would you like us to do a check to see if the child's going to have any birth defects or actually to check for the gender. I remember when my wife found out she was expecting, she asked the doctor if he believed in abortions. we did not want to have a doctor who was pro-abortion watching her during her pregnancy. And this question's been asked a lot. So if there is a defect in the child and it's going to be major, would you want to abort the child at this time? And so that's kind of the thought there. We don't want to raise a Down syndrome child. We don't want to have a child that's not perfectly normal. Number next, under this, you can look this up. This is documented. And again, this is argued against as well. A professor in a university said, okay, here's the situation we're talking about, abortion. So here's a true scenario. The dad has syphilis. The mother has tuberculosis. Their first child was born blind. Their second child died at birth. Their third child was born deaf and mute. Now she's expecting her fourth child. How many of you, class, thinks she ought to just have an abortion and terminate the pregnancy? All these hands went up. The professor said, you just killed Beethoven. He was that fourth child. Interesting. I looked this up recently. Here are fines in our country. And notice somewhere in the notes, it says America has gone nuts. And that's saying it mildly. If you torture puppies like a man in Flint, Michigan did last month, he was charged with torturing puppies. He has to serve 23 months to 4 years in prison for torturing puppy dogs. If you end up killing a bald eagle in America, it is up to 1 year prison and a $5,000 fine. If you kill a sea turtle, and they taste good, I'm not kidding you. Cut that off. No. But if you kill a sea turtle, it's up to 1 year in prison and a $50,000 fine. If a child's life is terminated, unborn, there's no prison and no fine. If you take a sea turtle egg, unborn, there's prison and a fine. It just seems like there's some hypocrisy there, doesn't it? It just does. Number five, I saw five just on the internet, different people, including Canada, people that were arrested for praying silently in front of an abortion clinic, not even out loud. No bullhorns, no setting the building on fire, no scaring people, folding their hands and praying silently, arrested. All but one of those was in America. Number six, if it wasn't something to it, why is there anniversary grief? If it's just tissue, if it's just a surgery, if there is no life. I mean, I had my knee surgery 6 years ago. They removed my knee. I don't wake up January 6th, every January 6th, and say, my knee surgery. There's not grief over that. Number seven. When the Benefils were on staff here years ago, they were just newlyweds, married a year or two. They found out they were going to have a baby. On the first checkup, the doctor was very concerned. He did do a check because they can do surgeries on unborns and correct a lot of things even before they're born. They found out their first little child, Bethany Grace, would be born without the back of a skull. A very rare disease. The baby would live a few minutes. It would not live. And they asked her if she would want to abort the pregnancy. And they said, of course not. It's our baby. but the baby's not going to live. Of course not. And I'll never forget, during that time they lived here on the church property, the week before the birth, they knew, you know, the check-in time, they knew that the child would not live. I think they received 25 or 35 huge bouquets of flowers. We love you. We're praying for you. I was in the hospital just down the hall when she gave birth. They got to hold the baby for about 5 minutes. And then that little baby went to heaven. On the funeral day, I think they got about 25 more arrangements of flowers. I remember as they had the funeral here, him and his brothers and sisters all sang at the funeral. Brother Benefield got up and he says, I don't know what people do who don't have a church family. We've been loved so much. They were loved, and people got to watch God comfort and give strength to that family. Then they went to Cambodia as missionaries. They were able to minister to so many people who lost a child before and after birth. You can only comfort in an area you've been comforted. Just a thought. Number 8, interesting. Hypocrisy in our state. There was a guy named Scott Peterson. Anybody ever heard that name? Supposedly his wife accidentally fell. She was expecting, supposedly accidentally drowned, whatever. Anyway, he denied any wrongdoings. He was charged with double murder for murdering his wife and his unborn child. How do you get charged with double murder if the baby's not a human? Kind of hypocrisy there, isn't it? Number 9. There's a pastor friend my wife and I know in Colorado. And she was told at her first checkup, the baby will be severely deformed. And they said, it's your first child. Do you want to rear a severely handicapped child the rest of your life? Or would you like to abort the pregnancy? She said, God has given us this child. He'll give us grace. The child was born. The doctor was wrong. There was no deforming. The child was perfectly normal. She graduated from Bible college, and I've known her for years. Doctor got it wrong. They don't always get it right. It's an amazing thought. Give you this one, then we're done. I said, Pastor, it's been heavy for a Wednesday night. Well, he's told a lot of lies. So we got to hit this at every angle, because people are going to say, well, what about that? And what about that? And in case of this and in case of that. And next time someone wants to bring this to you and they say, okay, so what about incest and rape? There's got to be abortion for things like that. Ask them 2 questions. 1, so you're saying abortion ought to be wrong for everybody except those 2 cases, right? And they're going to say, no, that's not what I'm saying. And then I'd say, now, number 2, since you're so concerned about those who've come with child because of incest or rape, I know you're real concerned for those people. How much money have you given to that cause? Since you're so concerned for them. It'll get real quiet. So here it is. I was speaking up in Michigan. A fellow I graduated from Bible college with. I knew his wife. Knew her all 4 years in college. Real sweet young lady. They married. He's pastoring a church in rural Michigan, pastored that church probably 35 years. We're sitting down to a meal. She said, you probably never heard this story. She said, my mother had me out of wedlock. I was not planned. My mother was date raped. She became with child, did not marry my father. He was not a good father figure. So my mother raised me alone. I didn't have a dad. And she said, I always felt bad because I wasn't planned. But when I got saved, I realized God had plans for me. And then she capped it off with this. She said, and I was teaching a teenage girl's Sunday school class last Sunday. And there's a girl that's been riding the bus for months who will not make eye contact with me. And I told this story last Sunday. I was unplanned. My mother was taken advantage of. And at that moment, for the first time ever, that young girl looked up and made eye contact with me. And after Sunday school, she came up and said, you weren't planned? She said, that's just like me. My mother and your mother, same thing happened to them. And with tears streaming down both of their faces, she was able to lead that student to Jesus Christ. Because she had been through something. And only because she had could she reach her. God's ways are always greater than our ways. Always greater than our ways. The devil hates these little babies. He hates these kids. He's wanted to destroy the future of our country. He's done a pretty good job of it. But thank God there's some people in this church trying to raise some good kids for the Lord. And those of you that maybe don't have kids that come to this church or yours are all moved away, help everybody else here raise some good kids. Encourage them. Pray for them. Love them. Teach them the Word of God. Set the example. And you'll be glad that you did.